Okay, well, let's start with a word of prayer, you guys. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for our time together today. Thank you for each other, the joy of not only fellowship and a conscious awareness of participation in your family and the sharing of your life one to another, and the joy of the daily growing experience of your life. We would ask you to quicken your word to our hearts today and to our minds. Trust you for a joy and an enthusiasm as we study your word, and with thankful hearts we come wonderfully dependent upon your Holy Spirit to be our teacher, our guide, and to bless this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, well, anyway, I want us to look at this and see, because we're in chapter 4, and of course, and that's up here, where my cursor is, up in chapter 4, and the reason that there was a transition between 3 and 4 was because John was going about to do something. All I want us to do right now, for sake of introduction, because we're in chapter 4 and we're getting into some degree of application in reference to the things John has pointed out, is one of the things that you'll note in our charting a little bit later today is a reference to as he is. So just keep that in mind. We'll jump back to this. And what we want to start our study with in reflection is John has in several places, actually quite a few, brought out not as a comparison, but as an indication of something that now hopefully we've come to realize isn't an assumption, but is to be an experience, that as he is, so am I in this world. And we've talked about that. And so looking at this, is it big enough for you guys to see the words?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Sonia and Curtis?
Yeah.
Okay. So then let's pull out a couple different phrases that John indicates that as he is, so am I in this world, because that becomes absolutely relative to the first paragraph of chapter 4. It's the significant foundation. So scan through chapter 1 rather quickly, 2, 3, and so on, and pull out something that John emphasizes or indicates that could fall into the conceptual context of as he is, so am I in this world. We know foundationally what he's talking about is the life of Christ, and everything flows from the life of Christ in our ability to be a child of God and experience that, and then begin to recognize aspects of the life of God in me that are being manifest, and then come to the places we're seeing in chapter 4, the end of chapter 3, that this life is actually God, and I'm getting to know this person resident in me as he really is. So in chapter 1, does anybody see anything that might indicate something that it falls in the context of as he is, so am I in this world? Different words, but conveys by a proper interpretation would indicate that's what John's talking about.
Seven, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we
good.
Have fellowship.
Yeah, so let's take a look at that. So as John says it, of course, this is before we really came to a confident place that we're actually experiencing the life of God as he is, so am I in this world. Mm-hmm. And so then talking about walking the light as he is in the light, how might we then explain how that relates to as he is, so am I in this world? In as he is, so am I in this world isn't a comparison. John stating as a state of fact. So go ahead, Sonia, if you had another thought.
You mean that he's our light? He's a light and we're walking with
well,
him?
Well, yeah. Think of it more in the context of try to climb. I know it's difficult because we're separating a video conference, but we're not on a video conference with the Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the Father, and the life that he is, that he himself is within us. And so jump into Christ Jesus as he is, and let's identify what that is. He's actually We know if you jump to the, I'm going left and right here, but if you jump to the full expression that we see in Hebrews, the author there states very plainly that he's the exact expression of God in the created order, the expression of the life of God in the created order, and he's the exact expression of the life of God in a human being in the created order. And jumping into him, let's imagine what that's like, what John's has brought us to the place of agreement to, and what he's, when he says, as he is, so am I in this world, is when he expresses his life in himself, it comes out through you and me. So correlate that with walk in the light as he is in the light. It isn't that our light's like his. It's more intimate than that. So what's more intimate than it's like Christ's light?
He is our light. He is the light. It's his light. It's his light.
Yes. Yeah.
That's as he is, so are we in this world. He is the light, and we're walking with him. And so that's why we can have fellowship together with one another. Because each one of us is in the light.
And right, and we're not... Sure. So every aspect of that, in the sense of he's my light, right? He is the light. There is no other light. And now jump into him, rather than look at him from outside of us and in the fellowship with him who, as he resides within us. What can we say about the light? I mean, how did he walk as far as the light goes?
He knew that the light was the Father. He knew that as the Father was, so was he. And he was one with him, living, and it was, yeah, he was just living in the light. Living in him, and he was just expressing that.
Okay, and so,
It's, if we just go up to verse 5,
uh-huh.
You know, where it says God is light.
Yep.
So Jesus was walking in the light, so he was walking in God. And so what we could say for that highlighted verse, but if we walk in the light, not only as he is in the light, but as he is the light, then that gives us, you know, a much closer sort of identification, if you like, sort of this, you get more of the oneness.
Okay, exactly. So with Joffe, with you, what you said and what Sonia said and what Curtis is thinking, let's take one baby step, or maybe a great step, in the sense of John's whole goal and object, and he has, we're experiencing, he's accomplishing it with us, in the sense of at the end, his purpose, of course, he's to bring us to that we know that we have eternal life in this life as this person, Jesus Christ, and he's true God, and so on. And so bring walking in the light, and he's in the light, and God is light, to bring in an experiential knowing that we're starting to experience, that indeed Christ, it was innately his nature to know. What is it that he knew, and how is knowing brought into a relationship with walking? And the second part of that phrase, we walk in light, he is in the light, and now God is the light. Bring knowing into that. And then see what, and let's take a look at what John's trying to do. Reason I'm emphasizing this, and just from the start, and this is a good passage that Sonia picked, was that this will bring us into a better foundation, a more mature foundation that John's brought us to by the end of 3, to get into this chapter four, which was somewhat confusing over the last couple of weeks. So without adding any more questions to that, knowing, what is knowing? Experiential knowing that John's been working with, and the walking in the light, he's in the light, and God is light, and so on. And so hopefully that made sense, and let's spend some time on that. Just 1 second here, too. I can't see myself, so I'm gesturing all over the place, so don't. There, I know there's certain political people that have a tendency to do that, and I don't put me in that group.
I can't see you.
Oh, you can't. That's right. This chart's in the way. Okay, up in the upper right corner, I would think, but maybe not.
No. Can we look at it? Just a slightly different perspective. If we sort of unpick John's words here, sure. And you know, the idea of this sort of walking in the light, well, it's more than that. It's more living and being and existing. You know,
yeah,
so our walking is essentially our living.
Exactly.
All aspects of that. So rather than walk in the light, because God is light, so actually our being, our living, our existing is not only in the light, but is the light.
Yeah, exactly, Joffe. Now push that into knowing, and push that into bring knowing and the term knowing and its and the experiential meaning to it, and how Christ walked, because we're getting up to as he walks, as he is so am I in this world, and we're using this to segue over to that. And John's putting an initial building block here in this context, and so mm-hmm. bring that into what the knowing in Christ living his own life.
Just what you just said. Yeah, he always pointed to his father as actually being his understanding and his light. So when he walked or he lived and existed in his father. So in that way, his understanding. His light, if you like, if we do light and understanding as sort of synonymous, his understanding was that his very life, his existence, was not only in God, but it was God in him. So it was a very intimate oneness there. And he never questioned that. He just accepted that whatever his thoughts were, whatever his speech was, whatever his actions were, this was all the expression of light, if you like, within him.
So he, what is it he knew? And what kind of knowing is that? What did he, just let me just add a couple of things to it that John has unfolded to us up through the first three chapters, is that he knew his nature, his own, right?
Yeah.
He knew it, and he knew whose nature was.
Mm-hmm.
And he knew, as Joffe's bringing out, he knew God. And now, in Joffe, he knew God as his own. He knew God's life as his own. He knew what it was, what it's about. So the confidence or the assurance as he lived, how is it that he walked? He walked knowing and having a confidence and freely expressing what? He was, if there was anyone ever that was confident in who he himself was, wasn't it Christ?
Yes.
And as Joffe pointed out, and he we have scriptures just shout this out, that he knew his life was God himself, living in him.
Yes.
What's yes. John trying to bring us to is the simple question. So as he walked knowing, and then we could have a list of things he knew, and primarily he walked knowing God as his own. And in that, he had a confidence in the person of God and all other things that would come with it. So when John later in the epistle says, as he is, so are we in this world, then we have to see it from that context. And the question then is John trying to bring us to such a place of confidence that we walk as Jesus walked, knowing what he knew? Well, we already know the answer to that. Obviously, yes.
Yeah.
And so we might feel a personal distance from that knowledge in the sense of, do I know my God and the life of my God as my very own as Jesus did? John is trying to bring us to an experiential awareness that, yes, you do. And we have a reluctance to acquiesce to that. I just suggest. Maybe I'm the only one, but I think every Christian has a reluctance to go there, and it's because of a lack of confidence. Theologically and scripturally, it isn't hard to see. But in our own experience, we have a reluctance to accept it. And all John's trying to point out to, it's already active in us.
Right. And it's, I suppose the reluctance is, and we all say it all the time, you know, oh, well, that's just me. And we have no trust in just me, but still holding on to that idea that somehow we're separate from God, just really takes away our confidence.
Well, that's why these little phrases that John puts in here, as we look at them and how he stages them and how he unfolds them in reference to Christ, isn't our, of course he is our example, but Christ is more than our example. He's an illustration of what God's life is in a human being. And what yes. John's trying to bring us to let go of is that the reluctance to say, to jump on to as he is, so am I in this world. In other words, just me. Did Jesus ever say that?
No.
No, I don't think, unless somebody can pull one out, I don't think at least scripturally we've ever seen anywhere where he said that. Mm-hmm. When the closest he gets to what's just me is the I ams.
Mm-hmm.
And the life that we have, that John's unfolding, is the life of the I am. And so that bridge to the Sabbath rest and so on is the yielding up or the acquiescing or the full acceptance, allowing the Holy Spirit to bring us into that experience that I am. And again, that, not get too far out here, is that has to do with a conscientious knowing our experience is the experience of the life of God as he happens or is. So let's find the next one. Is this okay? Are we all good so far?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't hear that young lady.
Yep. Yep.
Okay. So then moving down the page, let's find the next one. Before we get down to the obvious next one, right there in chapter 2, we've got he brought it up in the previous one in verse 7, but at the end of 7, of course, sin is brought up, and we've got us a cleanse from all sin because of the atonement and Christ's finished work in the context of his crucifixion and his blood and so on, the sacrificial system and all that type of stuff. And we're all well aware of that and quite comfortable with it. But then he touches on sin again in the first verse of chapter 2. And this, of course, is a stumbling block for a tremendous amount of us in the Christian church, having to do with our experience. And we're rather reluctant to go to the place that we can readily agree that God can keep me from sin. But the testimony that John's looking to is that God not only has, does, and always will, and I'm confident therein, keep me from sin. And that hedging of that with but it's always going to be possible, is curtailed by the as he is, so am I in this world. In other words, if we're reluctant to accept that I can walk as he walked, and it's actually him in me, and it's all the time, and it's actually him, not me just putting Jesus into practice. John is unfolding to us that thing has to be jettisoned, has to be let go. And we need an understanding by the Holy Spirit of the practical expulsion of that from not only from our experience, we're already in the experience of that, but from our understanding of as he walks, so am I in this world, and the humanity of Christ Jesus is one we participate in. Did that make sense?
Yes.
Good. Okay. So as we go through here, we're just touching on a few things that there might be areas, I don't want to say in my personal belief system, but that I'm holding on to, that indeed not only do I have to let go of or yield up to or so on, but come to an understanding that in verse 7 up there, when by the blood of Jesus the Son cleanses me from all sin, that's where this stuff was taken care of, and understand that it isn't something that is taken care of down the road. It's something that I need to quit holding on to, because not only is it untrue and a deception, but it can't belong to a participation in the life of Christ. That's rather severe, but these are things that John assumes we have come to an awareness of. Did that make sense?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Yep. All right. So then the next, let's just jump down to paragraph starting with 2-3 there, and that paragraph, and come up with, as he is, so am I in this world. Just as you think of that, is everybody okay with me slowing it way down here?
Fine. Yep.
Good.
Yeah, that's good.
Good. All right. So come up with something up here. There's a couple of them. And if we find ourselves with brain freeze and stuff, it could be that COVID-19 thing. But let's hope not. First sentence.
As he is, so am I in this world.
By this we know that, by this, we may be sure that we know him if we keep his commandments. Stick Jesus into that. He walked in the light. Did he keep God's commandments? We would have to, at the very least, suggest, if not be fully assured, that without even consciously thinking about keeping whatever list of commandments we might have, that as God would walk in the created order in his house, he'd keep true to his own nature. So the keeping of God's commandments, if we want to go his, God's commandments is inherent. If I could possibly get the nature of God to be my nature, there's no place for disobedience because I'm obeying myself. Unless somebody objects to that and says it doesn't work.
Right.
So he walked, even as he walked all the time keeping God's commandments. Did he walk keeping God's commandments out of a disciplined intellectual exercise that I need to adhere to these things?
No.
No. What kind of commandments is John talking about? He could be talking about those, or he could be talking about something else. We know in the context of this epistle, there isn't an emphasis on legal application of tablets written in stone.
Right. Again, we could rephrase that and say, and by this we may be sure that we know him if we live according to him, because, you know, all of his commandments are actually the expression of him, and as he is our life, then just walking in accordance with him within us, we automatically by default just keep his commandments, because we're walking as he is, you know, as his nature is.
Yes, exactly. So there, we can rephrase that in two different ways. I'll just jump to the end one, and if we need to go back, we can get the other one. But could we suggest that as he walks on, as he is somewhere in this world, and so on, in reference to Jesus, and I'm sure he was self-reflective. But and if he would analyze his performance, say as he would go in and study in the synagogues and read the parchments and so on, and then I'm not trying to be too sarcastic, but as he'd prepare his sermonettes on the side of the mountain and so on, he was a thinker, a contemplator, he was a communer with the Holy Spirit, and so on. And then one of the things he might find in his walking his own life was that, lo and behold, he says to himself, I am keeping God's commandments, not by performance, but just by living. Yeah, he'd find in his own, if he was whatever degree he was self-reflective, as he, if say he looked at his past week, it's like some of us might or have in the past. Boy, I got through this day or this last week without disobeying God. We probably suggest he didn't have that approach, but he had the Holy Spirit point out to him if at some particular point something was he'd read it or come in a dialogue or in self-reflection, is that he looks at his fellow man and sees, well, these people aren't obeying God, these people aren't what God wants and all that. He'd take note of that, but in his own life, he'd see, well, I don't have that problem. I am keeping God's commandments just by, I don't have an issue with them. It's, as Josephine was suggesting, it's my nature. And he'd know that. And so the same for us is all I'm trying to point out here, is that John's trying to point that out with there's another one in this paragraph that indicates that that is so. So that we know him if we keep his commandments. So there's an intimacy in the knowing, in the awareness for me that I know him, and I find it because I keep his commandments, as Joshua suggests. Does that make sense, you guys?
Yep.
Is anybody struggling with any of this?
No.
Who's in the back? Oh, you in the back.
It's good.
Okay. All right. So now get the next one in the in Jaffe, did that follow along with what you were suggesting?
I'm sorry, what's that?
Did that follow along with what you were suggesting there?
Oh, yes. Yeah. He I think it's almost, boy, as far as Jesus is concerned, you know, we talk about, and Jesus knew that. I mean, it was even more than that. It was just a being himself. So there was no conscious, oh, I know that. There was just a conscious of being himself.
Oh, yes.
Yes, yes. Now hold that. Put it up and let's go to the left side of the page and write it down. That's what John's trying to get us to come to a recognition of our own experience, that it is not like that. It is that.
It is that. That's right. Yeah. Yes.
And then part of that is, I know God to that degree,
mm-hmm.
as John's touching on here, I find myself keeping in commandments, and it's a result of knowing this person. What a contrast to the law that John points out in Galatians. How the law is used. In knowing mm-hmm. him, I find myself keeping his commandments. Not by knowing what his commandments are, but it's by knowing him.
Knowing him.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Now down in the latter part of that paragraph, well, let's go in the middle. I mean, John, it's like a stepladder in this paragraph. First, it's keeping commandments. Next, in the middle, keeps his word. In him, truly, love for God is perfected. So now it's whoever keeps his word. I mean, that's like a sister to keeping his commandments, but it's even, it's, if you want to say it's broader or more intimate or it demands a greater degree of knowing God.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so from there we jump to the bottom of the paragraph, and somebody could read verse 6, if they would. Raise your hands.
He abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked.
Yeah, and a culmination of what's in that paragraph and what came before. So if you would, Curtis, or anyone, if would like to, then abiding should be taking on a pretty broad, intimate, deep context. What abiding in him really means. So the ought to walk in the same way as in which he walked takes on an in-depth meaning, and we begin to know what he's talking about here.
Mm-hmm. And it's not a problem. It's just, again, our old thought process. You know, we can imagine that we are abiding in him, but we don't really grasp the oneness and the unity. You know, we abide in him not as an individual, but as a oneness with him. So, you know, you've almost got like a, how could you say, you've got sort of water and milk. And you could pour milk into the water and say, oh, yeah, well, the milk abides in the water. But, you know, they're inseparable. Yes, the milk is in the water, but can you tell the difference? No. Is there any separation? No. You know, can the milk have any identity as milk in abiding in water? No. it's just now one, you know?
Yes. What, let me throw this out is to complement that is we're talking about knowing him, but we're taking it a bit farther. And we want to know him like Jesus knew him. John's assuring us you actually do know him as Jesus knew him. And the other thing about Jesus we're talking about, as he is, so am I in this world, that with this knowing is that Jesus knew himself, and he knows himself as, i.e., God, and one with God, and the light of God is his own light, and all of that type of thing. So now we throw ourselves in him here, and we're quite comfortable with, and some of us maybe aren't so comfortable because some of us don't like ourselves, but I do know myself in certain kind, pretty much all of us by our ages. No offense to anyone. I know we're all 29, but we know an awful lot about who and what we are, each one individually. I know Mark, Joff knows Joff, Sonia knows Sonia, Curtis knows Curtis, and so on, and all that type of stuff. Well, Jesus knew himself. And now we're talking about knowing God. And John is pushing us to come to a comfortable, full assurance that I know him, not just as I know myself, but I know him as, favorite word Joffe used to use a couple of years ago, as myself. Mm-hmm. And the things that would inhibit a comfortable awareness of that, John eliminates for us by bringing us to an awareness of how God's coming out of us already in these three chapters.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so abide in him, ought to walk in the same way as he walked, bringing Christ Jesus into that. And unless somebody wants to add to that as time is flying by here, let's jump down to 10, verse 10, towards the bottom of the page in the left-hand column. And let's just use that to round this off. So if somebody wants to read that, verse 10.
He who loves his brother abides in the light, and in it there is no cause for stumbling.
You know what? And if you guys remember, it's been, I know, a long time. The first time you read 1 John, maybe it wasn't very fluid in the sense of not our reading ability, but coming across these different phrases and sentences. And a lot of times, the first few times you read, they didn't fit together. They kind of had a big list of different stuff. And we should be at the point now with our familiarity with this epistle that we see them not only as blocks of thought like a paragraph is, and we should indeed see it like that, but we see a relationship with everything John's doing in this epistle. And now as he brings us to the end of chapter, towards the end of chapter, in the middle of chapter 2, I'm sorry. He's taking what he said before, and he's bringing it into now an awareness of something that exists in me, and then he's bringing it to a place where I should have such a confidence because of that life that's in me. So, and we talked about this before in the sense of, have we recognized that there's a love in me that wasn't birthed from my earthly mother, but indeed it took a divine birth to for this love to be experienced by myself, in the sense of I find myself loving my brother. Mm-hmm. And love takes on a new definition because it's not what I thought love was. Are we all good there?
Okay.
All right. Yeah. And that indicates to me, if I recognize and see this love as John's bringing it out, that I'm abiding in the light. We just worked our way through, not exhaustively, but at least touched on a place where we should have some confidence in reference to abiding in the light, in knowing God and knowing my life and knowing that there's a fellowship and a relationship going there. And there's a one abiding in me that provides this love. And I'm aware of that. I know that indicates an abiding by my part. And by default, I find myself keeping the desires of God's own heart or his commandments or keeping his word. And then he gives us an assurance in that last phrase. Somebody want to read it again, starting with the word and?
Yeah, he's going to keep us.
And he's going to. And there's no cause for stumbling.
Right.
What would be, exactly, Joffe, what would be a cause for stumbling that this verse indicates isn't there? What's a cause for stumbling that we've had in the past, but isn't there now because of what? Okay.
Well, if we're in darkness, we can stumble because we can't see what we're tripping over.
Yes, and what would darkness be indicating, and what would darkness indicate here? in the context of what we've been talking about.
Well, you're not in the light, but we are in the light.
Okay, we're not in the, if you're not in light, what's that, put that in the context of knowing. What's John trying to bring us to? Knowing what? Who and what we are as a child of God?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
And so what would darkness be?
Not knowing.
Not knowing who and what we are as a child of God.
Mm-hmm.
So what would walking in darkness be? The application of that. So what has been removed that indicates there's no cause for stumbling? And this is, he's had done all this in the first column on the left. What's he accomplished for us? And he's brought to our attention, to our awareness. Besides, if I have love, I'm abiding, I'm in the light, and there's no cause of stumbling because I'm not walking in darkness. I'm not walking in not knowing who I am as a child of God. I'm walking in what? Knowing.
Okay.
Who I am as a child of God. And again, those are the things that John's touching on. Is that, are you guys with me there?
Yep.
Okay. Any questions so far? I'm going to jump from here, actually. We could work our way through, but that, of course, then goes back to a whole review of the first three chapters. But I think just this far is enough to jump to the first paragraph of four. But any questions before we do that?